to the regular meeting of the Blacksburg Planning Commission for Tuesday, December 3rd, 2024. Regular meetings are held here in the Roger E. Hedgepath Building on the first Tuesday of each month at 6:30 p.m. at Blacksburg Municipal Building, 300 South Main Street. Citizens may address the Planning Commission during specified times on the agenda and are requested to adhere to the following. Address. Direct comments only to the commission. Please limit speaking time to a maximum of 3 minutes, and there's a timer on the table to help you with that. And please speak only once during a specific hearing or comment period. A wireless microphone is available to anyone requesting the assistance. Please silence all cell phones, show respect for all speakers, and allow all opinions to be expressed in a tolerant atmosphere. Order. Roll call, please.
Britt.
Here.
Holly. Ehrman.
Here.
Ford.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Kassoff.
Here.
Kissy.
Here.
We do have a quorum.
Thank you. Move on to our consent agenda. The consent agenda has two items on it, the first being the approval of the Planning Commission minutes from November 5th, and the action is to approve. Is 801 North Main Street, PRD development at 801 North Main Street, and additional locations on Cambridge Street, Progress Street, and Winston Avenue. And the action there is to cancel the public hearing for tonight, December 3rd, and reschedule January 7th, 2025, which is next month. Do we have a motion on the consent agenda?
I move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor? We'll move on to our public hearing for tonight. We have two public hearings and the canceled one. First public hearing is rezoning 24-3 PRD request from R5 transitional residential to planned residential at 402 Clay Street. And we have a staff presentation by Matthew Sampa.
This is a request to rezone 5.9-acre parcel at 402 Clay Street Southeast from R5 to planned residential for multifamily development. The applicant is Balzer and Associates on behalf of Here's an aerial of the property outlined in blue. The Midtown development is directly adjacent. After discussion at the November 19th work session, the applicant provided updates to the application to include a revised master plan, side elevations of the buildings from Clay Street, and a revised proffer statement. The applicant is proposing to construct 2 3-story apartment buildings with a total of 72 bedrooms. The development includes a mixture of 1 and 2 bedroom units and a of the units affordable for for residents earning less than 80% annual median income is also proposed. Proposed parking for the development includes 69 vehicular parking spaces and 22 bike parking spaces. Here's the master plan included with the revised application. In response to recommendations from the corridor committee and staff, bicycle parking spaces, buildings, and trail crossing signage is now shown on both sides of the trail and drive aisle crossing at the rear of the site. Rezoning requests are evaluated for their conformity to the comprehensive plan, the relationship of the proposal to the general planning program of the town, and whether or not the change furthers the community, the need and justification for the change, which is the applicant's burden to prove, and the effect of the proposed change on the surrounding neighborhood and public facilities. Comprehensive plan future land use designation is medium density residential. Comprehensive Comprehensive plan future land use envisions up to 20 bedrooms per acre for multifamily uses. When evaluating the proposed multifamily density on the median density residential area, the proposed density of 45.5 bedrooms per acre is more in keeping with the high density residential designation. Though the adjacent Midtown development also includes high density residential components. The 2021 comprehensive plan acknowledges that housing affordability in Blacksburg is a growing problem. Housing programs assess whether housing is affordable by comparing a household's income to the percentage median income. Households earning less than 80% of the AMI are considered low income by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. The proposed PRD is offering to dedicate 20% of the units for residents making less than 80% area median income. The comprehensive plan also notes that an increasing number of graduate students and international graduate students, doctorate researchers, and other young professionals live and work in Blacksburg. These types of residents may require or desire different housing needs than multifamily student housing and single-family detached residential housing. The proposed PRD includes a mix of only 1 and 2 bedroom units with smaller yet adequate living spaces that is in short supply in Blacksburg. In the zoning ordinance, there is a statement of purpose for each district. The PR district allows flexibility for applicants to determine the best standards that meet the intent of the proposed development and the district purpose. The intent of the district can be met in a number of ways. In exchange for flexibility, the application plan and proffers are binding. And any substantive changes would require the applicant to amend the PRD through public hearing process. This map shows the current zoning of the parcel and surrounding area. In the zoning ordinance, there are 3 types of regulations that govern new development. The planned residential district allows an applicant to propose most of the district standards, but use and design standards and development standards still apply unless modifications are specifically requested. District standards apply to all development within a particular zoning district. The existing and proposed standards are found on the table and in the staff report. The applicant proposes a 20-foot front yard setback and 15-foot side and rear yard setbacks. The proposed maximum height of the buildings is 42 feet. Open space is required as a district standard in the PR district and as a use and design standard for multifamily. A minimum of 20% is required. The open space requirement can be reduced or eliminated based on certain criteria. Applicant has asked to eliminate the open space requirement based on the property's proximity to downtown, the short distance to services and transit, the density provides good transition to adjacent zoning districts, nearby public open space, and the proposed future connections to the sidewalk on Clay Street and Midtown Trail. Use and design standards govern the development of a particular use in any zoning district. The use and design standards for multifamily uses are intended to provide an attractive, street-oriented development with appropriate connections and open space. The standard for sidewalk connections states that sidewalks shall connect each unit to the two other units on site adjacent lots. Parking areas, mailboxes, and trash and recycling containers. The internal sidewalks also connect to the future Midtown Trail and future Clay Street sidewalk. The standard for street elevations requires at least one street-oriented entrance and contain the principal windows of the front unit. The applicant is requesting an exception to the use and design standard because the two apartment buildings face internal to the site and their main entryways face the parking lot rather than Clay Street. In response to discussion at the work session on the elimination of street elevations requirement, the applicant provided elevations to show how the side of the buildings would appear from Clay Street. The elevations show a number of windows, overhangs, and three different types of finishes that would be seen from Clay Street. This is a view of the 18-unit building. And here's a view of the 24-unit building. The standard of 1.1 spaces per bedroom accommodates the resident plus guest parking and is typical of student apartment living where unrelated individuals occupy bedrooms. The planned residential district standards allow an applicant to propose an alternate standard. The applicant has proposed a parking ratio of 0.96 spaces per bedroom. Eighteen bicycle spaces are required for this project, and 22 spaces are proposed. Landscaping is required to be provided per the zoning ordinance. The minimum tree canopy should be as per similar uses, which in this case would be multifamily uses, which require a minimum of 10% canopy coverage. Street trees are required to be provided on all public frontages. The development is proposing a minimum of 14% canopy coverage that would include new and existing trees internally and on the periphery of the site. A total of 6 street trees are required along Clay Street and 8 are provided. An additional 12 trees are provided along the future Midtown Way road connection and trail. A number of parking lot trees are also provided throughout the site. Town engineering staff reviews requests for rezoning for impacts to public utilities to determine if the existing infrastructure has capacity to support the additional development. The stormwater concept plan has been approved. Town public water and sanitary sewer are adequate to support the development. Future sidewalk along Clay Street is included in a town CIP project that is slated for construction in 2027. If the development of the PRD were to occur before the CIP project, the developer would be responsible for the sidewalk implementation along its Clay Street frontage as part of the site plan process. Here is the illustrative master plan included with the revised. As mentioned previously, as part of the rezone application, the applicant has requested modifications to eliminate the open space and street elevations requirements. The applicant has revised the affordable housing proffer to further clarify the intent and process regarding the affordable housing units proposed with the PRD. And that concludes my presentation. I can answer any questions you may have.
Any questions for staff or some, Matthew?
Just a couple. Do the elevations we saw, are they included in the proffer as well?
Not the, but the application has to, the development, or the PRD has to be developed in accordance with the application.
Okay, so in effect, those elevations and those sorts of treatments are included in this proposal at the level of a proffer, not just as a possibility. Okay. And then the second question is, does the application follow, does it or does it not have a sidewalk connecting to Clay Street?
There is a sidewalk connecting to Clay Street, yes, but on one side of the apartment.
Okay, because the recommendation, I didn't see whether that had been.
The applicant has stated that they might be able to explain further, but I think the slope might be difficult to implement that sidewalk.
On the other side, right? It is on one side, but the other side, the slope is preventative, I think is what. Okay, just clarify.
Any additional questions for staff? All right, we'll move on to the application presentation. Steve Simonis of Balzer & Associates.
Good evening. Steve Simonis of Balzer & Associates. Nice to see everybody. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. This is not a huge project, but it's an exciting project for us. This is one of the first ones that we've had the opportunity to work on that's kind of a private development that is working out and trying to figure out a way to help our affordable issue that we have in the town of Blacksburg. So we need units, 42 units is not a lot, 20% of that, you know, rounding up to 9 units isn't a lot of affordable housing, but it's a step in the right direction. So we're excited to be here before you this evening. Matthew did a good job kind of running through the project. I did want to go over some of the specific comments that we received for our neighborhood meeting and then through work session and staff comments as well. These are included in our revision letter that we provided with the updates, and Matthew talked through some of these. I think I'll start here on our rendering here. So as he mentioned, we did switch around some bike spaces and locations based on the corridor committee recommendations. There was a question posed about the number of affordable units because it was hitting an odd number like 8.4. So we're rounding up to those 9 units on that. The sidewalk question that was brought up, Mr. Britt, plan as part of this application to see if we were going to need any retaining walls or any heavy grading along our Page North property line there. So when we did that preliminary grading plan, the slope at the lower left-hand corner of the parking lot where the stormwater facility is, that elevation down to Clay Street, the way we did the preliminary grading doesn't allow for a handicap accessible ramp right there. So if we make a connection from a private development to a public sidewalk, it's got to be. We've done a quick look on going back and how we might be able to regrade some of those areas as we get into construction plans. We think we can make one work, but we didn't want to promise it and the grading not be able to allow it. The code, if we can get the second construction plans, we're committed to putting that in. It makes sense if we can get it to work. It just has to be ADA accessible. Let's see. The elevations, I'm sorry, I should have said this before. Every single question myself tonight, we've got Ian Friend with the property owner, Todd Meckley with Visionary Consulting is the architect on this, so I know there were a couple architectural questions, so Todd's here on Merrick's from our office who went through the stormwater plans could answer anything specifically if the commission has anything on stormwater management. The elevations that we provided, I wanted to scroll through a couple extra that Todd and his team provided us. You all have, I believe, have seen these. These are the front elevations and the side elevations that we've added since our last meeting. And again, Mr. Britt, to your question, yes, since they're part of our package and part of our submittals, they would be proffered in for substantial conformance. These are some new ones you all hadn't seen. So the previous ones that were sent into Matthew, I believe, last week, didn't have the overlay onto the Google Earth images here. So you'll see the street trees that we have proposed. These have grown them, so it's not that they're just planted. So we have grown those with some years of you know, maturity in there. But this is a little bit better view than the other ones that we have provided. So we thought this might be helpful for everybody to see this evening. That one's obviously looking back down towards Midtown and the police station. So again, the vegetation in there, while the buildings are three stories, I will say we're at that just under 42 feet in height, I believe, if I remember right, Matthew. I think the code is 35 in R5. So, you know, we're only talking about a 6 to 7 foot elevation difference to the top of the roof line there. So the additional height we're asking for in the PRD, we don't feel is detrimental to our to the project or to our neighbors. So we can come back to those if you all have questions on that. The trail crossing signage Matthew touched on, that was as far as folks' vehicular traffic crossing the trail from the Midtown parking lot into our proposed parking lot there on page right. The sanitary sewer, there were some questions on that. We provided some clarification at the town, same with the water line connection. There was a water line loop that was to be shown that we were planning to make at the time that Midtown installed that water line, but engineering would like us to go ahead and make that loop now with this project if it's ahead of us. So we've agreed to do that. We talked about the access road at work session, and I believe, Ms. Jones, you weren't there, but just to reiterate for the public, engineering had brought up a question on whether extending Midtown Way, which is at the bottom of your page there, straight into the site, would be a better way to access the property versus coming through the parking lot behind the townhomes. We have great issues in making that work. There's an existing duct bank that was installed as part of Midtown that would also impact that. But the bigger question from a safety perspective is we didn't want to set up kind of a straight throughway where speed can increase on Midtown Way into those parking lots. So the way we have it going right now, going down as you move through the parking lots back behind the townhomes. And since we have a trail crossing, we felt that lower speed was a safer way to get people across that trail. And the last thing was the proffer statement that Matthew mentioned, clearing up some of the language from our first time around concerning the affordability. Ian has been working hard with his team as far as trying to put together the affordable package on this, several different funding sources, as some of you are aware of. So he could answer some specific questions about that if you had it. And the last thing, and I apologize to the public, I was leaving the office today and realized I hadn't put in one of the exhibits that Mr. Cassie had asked for at our work session. So you have that in front of you. It was really just an overview to see how the project itself relates to the open space areas that are part of Midtown, since we're asking for a variance to the 20% open space requirement. So your green spot you see on there, one is Central Park that has now been deeded over to the town. Then you've got the two on the left, which is the Commons that sits in front of the police station, and then the plaza there at the corner of Ehart. Again, those haven't been fully developed out yet, but those are part of the future plans of Midtown that would have to be done as the rest of the development occurs along that downtown commercially zoned property. I believe that's it on my end. I'd be happy to answer any questions Planning Commission has or our team would be happy to as well.
Questions for the applicant?
During the work session, maybe I didn't make my concerns clear. I was somewhat concerned about the elevations on the end, but my primary concern was the fact that the parking lot goes just about right to the road. Now, in town or in Christiansburg or anywhere in the county, there are places where we drive through, and like downtown Blacksburg, and we're kind of jealous of the pedestrians. Why are we in a car when they get the drive through? And we think, why on earth would anybody be walking here? What's the matter with this person that they don't have the access to a car like I do? And I guess my question is, are there any places that are pedestrian friendly that you can think of that have a parking lot that close to the sidewalk?
Close to the sidewalk, internally to the site.
Like, I understand what you were saying. You were saying that your concern was you didn't want to make an L shape because it's more expensive, I sympathize with, and the axis had to be in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that those first X parking spaces also have to be up against the road. In other words, that could be a drive, and you could get the parking spaces behind, could you not? In other words, does the parking space, the parking lot, as viewed by the road, the two elevations you chose, the two renderings you chose were kind of from above and from below. Mm-hmm. But the elevation is really where it comes in, where you realize that there's a large parking lot, a relatively large parking lot, and the butt ends of two row homes, townhomes. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, is there something that can be done about that, about the parking up against the road, and about the variance you guys are asking for, according to the presentation, is we're supposed to, because it's all over the both the master plan and the zoning code, we're supposed to face the street, and you're saying we're asking for a variance because we face the parking. But I don't understand why I don't understand what that request is. What does the town get in return for that? If the street and the public way and the sidewalk belongs to the town, belongs to the public as the public right away, why does it have to face? Why are you asking to face a parking lot? What does the town get out of it? The extra density, we get more housing, which we need. The lack of public space, we presumably get more housing that we need. The lower, the extra height, great, more density. All the other things you're asking for, the town gets something back for. What does the town get back from facing inward into the parking lot?
I guess the variance itself is, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the door. It's not really how the building quote faces, but there would need to be a door and a front facing side to the street. So there have been situations, you know, where you've got the side of the building, but you'll put a door on the side. We talked about that, I think, you know, as far as wrapping a porch around, and we've done that before. You know, if there was a door there, the park, you know, we wouldn't be asking for a variance, and we'd still have the same parking scenario. Now, I think what we've done, we've also looked at in the past where we've had parking lots. Some of you all may remember when we had the townhome project on Rugby Lane. There was a question about the parking lots that we had on there. It met code, but it was still showing more parking kind of to that public way of Rugby Lane than maybe everybody would like to see. So we added some additional landscaping, some screening landscaping in that. You know, we do have our street trees there. I mean, so that could be something, Mr. Ehrman, we could look at, you know, screening those first couple parking spaces into the project. As you said, you understand, you know, we've got to have it there for sight distance. But
well, that's for the driveway, but it's those first X parking spaces. Does this body have the, as part of a PRD, have the authority to change the setbacks? Is that something we have the authority to do? Andrew? As part of a PRD, could we change the setbacks? If he needed to squeeze, in other words, if, for instance, this is not me giving the design advice by any stretch, but if we flip the bottom to the top and the top to the bottom and turn the bottom one 90 degrees so it faced the street, and we had an entryway, and you could have whatever parking lot you wanted behind it, but we would address the street. We would address the street with the building instead of addressing the parking lot with the building, in keeping with the rest of the pedestrian friendly world that is downtown Blacksburg.
Well, you certainly could take action on the variances that are requested, the exceptions that are requested. As far as recommending a redesign of a master plan PRD, I would say that may be beyond Planning Commission's purview. You know, because this is the proposal that is put in front of you,
you're welcome to reject the application.
Right, right, right.
It's presented here tonight, but you can't redesign. You know, we're not in the position to say.
But the exceptions could be addressed. One, yeah. If that's the desire.
Steve, was there a site distance study done to determine the location of the entrance off of?
We did. Yes, sir.
And is the entrance dictated somewhat by that site distance requirement? And the setback to the first parking space from the right of way, what is that distance? from...
There's a 20-foot, so we've got a 20-foot setback to the building, and as it's written in the code, the parking spaces have to be at or behind, they've got to be behind the front building line. So it meets code from the road. So if the parking spaces were pushed further back, you know, another 9 feet, if you took a space off and shifted everything back, it's still the same alignment. It just pushes it further back behind that front building line. And we do have a little flexibility in, especially on the 18-unit building. You see the one green island that kind of wraps the corner just short of the dumpster. You know, we've got some space in there that we can shift those spaces back. We could at least move that one back and potentially, you know, shift the one against the 24-unit building back a hair. But you're getting close to that rear property line where you see that last crossing of the road. So there's much flexibility there, but we could at least, you know, potentially pick up, you know, one parking spot depth and pushing it further away from the street on that 18-unit side. Or we can just, you know, we could add some little buffering. We can make that change before we get to town council and add some additional buffering and screening along those two parking islands for those first spaces.
Your parking space number, it's I can't remember exactly what the number is, slightly below what the requirement would be if it were a student housing project. Was the rationale for the number of parking spaces based on the your anticipated occupancy of the building? Leeway there that are you tight on parking as it is, or is it possible to perhaps make that change that you're talking about and then eliminate one parking spot? Mm-hmm. Is that cause?
So I mean, it would lower our ratio. Right now, we're just under one space per bedroom. You know, town code is 1.1 for anything multifamily. And what we've seen in the past, and I think we've talked about, we've lowered parking requirements down on other affordable projects. You know, because typically if it's an affordable unit, and I think I used Habitat as an example maybe at work session, most of those families are only driving one car, so a lot of times we'll do one space per unit versus doing it per bedroom. I'd let Ian answer that if there's a, you know, from a pro forma standpoint and what they feel like they need to have per bedroom in this. You know, again, these are one and two bedroom units, so maybe some of those two bedroom units, you know, they don't need two cars. You know, for each one of those, as close as we are to downtown and transit, which is one of the reasons why we've asked for a reduction anyway. But that could be one way to approach that.
In work session, Ian, you gave us a pretty good breakdown of how you landed at 0.96. Could you come up and do that for us again?
Hello, Ian Friend. I don't think losing one or two spaces is going to be the end of the world. I mean, if we start getting into the three and four, I would kind of balk. But, I mean, losing one or two isn't going to kill the project. I just like being at the one-to-one because we've had experience in other projects where if we get to that below 0.9 ratio, we've had problems, and I just don't want to have those problems. But, yeah.
And you base that partially on other projects that you
get? Yeah, I mean, the closest market rate that we have is the View. We have a lot of CRC employees, their families, and we actually had to ask for parking on the CRC. We had to pay for parking on their lots to have less people there because we were overflowing. So.
And what was the design ratio there?
0.79.
Yeah. So if you
definitely don't want to be in the under 0.8.
So on a market rate project, if you get below in that 8 range, it gets dicey.
Yeah, and I would say we were overflowing into the CRC by like 20 or 30 cars. So it would definitely leak into the higher 0.8s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it have a 80% AMI component to it as well?
No, sir. That was just a market rate product.
Ian, while you're up here, will you tell us more about the affordable housing and the funding and how you guys made that happen?
Yeah. Cool. So our main conversations with VHDA, we have talked to USDA a little bit, but VHDA has a multifamily program where 20% of the units have to be 80% AMI or lower, and they typically have pretty good loan interest rates, so that's helped the private development, at least on our side, make this project work. So that's how we were able to make it. So right now we're leaning towards VHDA. We just wanted to keep our options open in case something happened with that funding, but it's definitely going to be that sort of program with Virginia Housing.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments for the applicant?
I have just, Steve, could you walk us through again, you mentioned that there's going to be signage, but just what somebody going down the trail that's going to encounter traffic is going to experience, how they're going to know, yeah.
Right. So coming down the trail from hand corner of the page down, you know, you'll be going downgrade right there. So we will have crosswalks like we have at other trail crossings through Midtown. On each side of that, we'll have, you know, a trail crossing signage for the cars to slow down or stop. I mean, the idea is we basically have a stop sign at each one of those.
Right.
So the pedestrians have that right of way as they're coming through there.
And will there be signage for the people coming down the trail?
We can. Yeah, that wasn't part of the original request of the town with our plan review, but I'm not sure if that's normal, if there's a standard road crossing sign that we have on different trail sections through town. Jerry, do you
know? I feel like most of the trail crossings, like up on North Main, the trails have stop signs. So the pedestrian bikes are the stopping.
Okay.
So if you're saying the cars are going to have stop, I'd say make it a four-way stop. That's the safest thing. Make them all stop.
Yeah, I would make them all stop, too. I mean, I'm just thinking about, like, you know, this can be a great trail to get downtown to campus and everything like that. And I could see, you know, people existing mostly, you know, thinking about the, I mean, except for that crossing, it's pretty much a straightaway all the way down. Mm-hmm. And so just flying through that.
Yeah.
And so even though a car might be slowing, like, stopped, even if they can't, you know, even if they start to go reasonably, somebody could jam right into them.
We don't have any problem with that. Okay. We can put those on there.
Yeah, I was just in Greenville, South Carolina, and they have a nice trail system. And again, the cars have the right of way, so most of the signage for the pedestrians and stuff warn saying cars don't stop or look again or something. So I think safety says stops.
Yep, okay. We can do that.
Oh, wait, I think I have one more question. I'm sorry. Portability. Okay, nope. That's good.
Great. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, we'll open the public hearing up for public comment. Anyone from the public would like to address the commission on this particular hearing, please do so at this time. Seeing none, we'll move on. Assume the applicant doesn't need a rebuttal. Great. All right. We'll move on to motion and discussion. Do we have a motion on this public hearing? Rezoning request.
I move approval of the project or the request.
Second.
Great. We have a motion on the dais to approve rezoning 24-3 Clay Street Apartments. And I assume that would include both variances?
Correct.
Okay, great. So we have a motion. Do we have any discussion?
I have something.
Great.
I'm really excited about this project. I've been asking over and over again that private developments explore, you know, readily available financing to include affordable units. And even though, Steve, you said that 9 units, it's not that much. 20% of units is a huge deal, you know? And if we were able to get 20% of all development to be affordable, we may come pretty close to solving our affordability problem. I mean, if you look at the numbers of people, generally it's in the range of 30% of people have affordability challenges. Most of those people are having low incomes. And so if we could make 20% of all of our housing affordable, we might solve it, you know? So this is a big deal. And I thank you guys for going down this path. And one thing I want to mention is, you know, I didn't get to attend work sessions, so I thought about the orientation of these buildings just all on my own, you know, without anybody else talking. And you know, I drive up and down Clay Street every day, and right now, obviously, Clay Street is a pedestrian nightmare. It is one of those places where you're like, why is this person walking down here? Why won't you just go one street to Lee Street and walk down that, where it is more reasonable? And I'm happy about, you know, the sidewalk improvements that are happening with each of the developments along Clay Street. But I'm also feeling like this, you know, facing inward, and also hopefully kind of facing toward Midtown, the more pedestrian-friendly place is that trail, you know? And so I would like, it, as you guys screening that parking, not only from Clay Street, but rather the trail. You know, you guys have the flowering trees and the columnar trees there, but, you know, your only evergreens are along that shared property line. And so I guess I would like to see at least some evergreens or other small shrubs on both of those sides. And I do think that that would really improve the pedestrian experience there. But I will emphasize, just because I can see a bike crashing into a car here, that probably safety is the most important thing. So, you know, any landscaping that would trick people into thinking they don't have to stop, dispense with that for sure, and give a stop sign, absolutely. But I'm excited about this. I mean, I think it's housing stock that we need in the town, and especially the affordable units are just, you know, really wonderful. So thank you.
Any further points of discussion?
With the offer to shave off a couple of parking spaces, would that need to be an amendment to the motion, or could that be taken as a sort of good faith part of our discussion?
I think at this juncture, I don't want to speak for the applicant, but I feel that they've heard the condition, and it's whether or not they choose to heed it as they take it forward to council. Council also has the benefit of this meeting tonight, what's been stated on the dais in terms of the concerns. So, yeah, we got to vote on what's in front of us. So, especially in the context of a PRD, because the master plan is binding. So, if the master plan changes between now and what goes before council, that's up to the applicant. Any further points of discussion? I'd just like to reiterate what Mel said. I think this sets a wonderful precedent for affordable housing. I think if this works, we can point to it and say this type of ratio, this type of development works in this town, and other developers would need to be able to demonstrate similar commitments. So I hope it works. I think it's a good project. Appreciate you bringing it forward. With that, we'll have a vote. All those in favor of the motion, which is to approve?
Aye.
All right. All those opposed?
Aye.
Great. We'll move on to our next item in our public hearing, which is the zoning ordinance amendment, ZOA 60, ordinance 2001. Which is an amendment to amend the text of the town zoning ordinance to create a new downtown Northwest zoning district for the area bounded by North Main Street, Turner Street, and Price's Fork Road. And we have a staff presentation by Andrew Warren and Kinsey O'Shea.
Good evening. I just had a few prepared slides for you all that wanted to go back through kind of where, how we got to where we are this evening. And so it really started with the strategic plan for downtown Blacksburg. It was accepted by town council in 2019. It provided guidance on future development and redevelopment in downtown. The plan divided the town downtown into six sub-districts, recognizing the different character of each of the areas with differing opportunities, constraints for existing development and redevelopment. The plan identified one district as downtown Northwest, which is bounded by North Main Street, Turner Street, and Price's Fork Road, is kind of to the to the left of the screen on the bottom there. And that really laid the groundwork for creation of the consideration of a new district. The Downtown Northwest Zoning District, it would not change the zoning of any parcel, but would establish a floating zone with incentives on top of the Downtown Commercial Zoning District. And this would be if the owner of the property would opt to rezone to this new district. The purpose really is to create a dense, urban, well-connected, mixed-use development pattern and standards that address the use, scale, building placement, form, and design of the development. As far as a bit about the process, it really did start by a referring resolution by Town Council to Planning Commission in September of 2022. The Planning Commission did study it at that time. They held a public hearing, made a recommendation later that year. And then the height that was recommended at that time was an approach that included three steps in height, and it really started from the center line of North Main Street, and it started at 75 feet, and then stepped up to a middle height, and then ended with a height of 125 feet. So those taller heights were interior to the site. Town Council did review the district, and it also included a larger conversation of the cumulative impact of height on downtown commercial. And then June of this past year, they referred the ordinance back to Planning Commission with a height of 60 feet as measured from 50 feet from the back of curb and then 75 feet to the interior. And they just asked Planning Commission to review the height further. And then that was the primary focus of the referral. Planning Commission began its review over the summer. Additional time was requested for further study, and Council passed another referring resolution. Planning Commission requested that staff ask Camaros, the consultant that has been with us this entire time, with this rewrite, or this new zoning district, for their input and recommendations on height. In consideration of height, Camaros came back with, instead of the three-tiered approach from the original, came back with an approach that said you should consider 60-foot height with a 50-foot setback from back of the curb. So similar to what came back from the Town Council. And then with 120-foot height beyond that 60-foot. Or that 50-foot setback, excuse me. And it's important to note, too, that the St. Luke and Oddfellows Hall setback that was in the ordinance was not changed and has not been proposed to change. So that still would remain that setback of a 35-foot height maximum within the 50 linear feet of a lot line abutting the St. Luke and Oddfellows Hall. So in studying the height impacts of building height impacts and the land use impacts, Planning Commission looked at six vistas that were modeled by our GIS department, or GIS division, excuse me, and it looked at pedestrian aerial views from each of the six locations. And these locations were chosen because public streets and also one public park in the surrounding area to look at what would that visual impact be if there was increased height in this area. Also, Planning Commission did visit the site and then was able to go to the top of Gilbert Place rooftop deck, which is approximately 85-foot height to overview the northwest. Downtown Northwest area. The actual height of that building is about 100 feet, but where we were was about 85 feet. So at the last work session, the discussion really centered around what that height should be. There was a discussion about 100 foot. The primary discussion did end up being more of a maximum height being 120 feet, except for 60 feet within the 50 linear feet from the back of curb along North Main Street and then Turner Street Northwest. For that 450 linear feet of Turner Street from North Main Street to around the corner, about a city block around the corner of where substation was located in the entrance to the Moss Arts Center. There was also discussion about architectural treatment or setback requirements on significant corners of the development. There was some guidance provided by the consultant as well of how to create a more prominent architectural feature on a particular corner, and the desire was also to look at potentially additional public space as well. The discussions by Planning Commission at the work session centered around should this be a requirement in this draft or an item discussed during the rezoning process. It was also discussed that it was getting a little bit away from the charge from council to look at height further. So as a quick recap of our timeline, since the summer, we've had really five work sessions, which would include the November 18th site visit. We did have a public hearing on August 6th that was continued to September and then closed so that we could further study height. And then the Planning Commission public hearing is this evening. Once the Planning Commission makes a recommendation, then the Town Council schedule will be finalized. And with that, that concludes my remarks. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Very helpful. Thanks for that. Kenzie, do you have anything to share with us? Great. Well, we spent a lot of time on this in work session, so I think we know what we're voting on. One thing I would like to ask you to do, Blaine, if you would be willing, would be to discuss the I think it is outside of the charter that we're given by council, would like you to discuss some of your thoughts on the treatment of that principal corner and how that might be dealt with in either further drafts, future drafts, or in a future rezoning request.
Preface this by saying that I'm relatively new on Planning Commission, so I have not had the benefit of the history, but I guess maybe I've also had the benefit of not having the baggage of history as well. And I guess what struck me in this is that the discussion of height seems to be the driver of what seems to be a very kind of urban type project. And we're kind of looking at things in terms of very traditional kinds of setback rules that we've done in Blacksburg for years and other communities as well. And I think there's starting to be a change in mindset and the paradigm shifting and maybe how we need to look at these types of projects, particularly when the density is going to be so much increased and the town is growing and the town is responding to the growth of Virginia Tech. And I think we'll continue to have to respond to the growth of Virginia Tech. So I think we need to start looking at these projects not so much in the paradigm we've looked at in the past, but something a little different. What is it that we need to be looking at in order to make a truly nice and livable urban development, an urban project? And it struck me that a whole lot of what was discussion about the height of this particular district has been driven by maybe a little bit of apprehension about how high 60 feet is. And of course, the prominent example we have is Kent Square. And I would just like to say that, you know, Kent Square, 60 feet high, when you look at building front to building front across that section of Main Street, is much narrower than the building front from our district to what's across the street, what's not in the district. And I think it's important that we look beyond just the boundary of the district as well. which led me to look at the whole intersection. And I know the charge is to look at this district, but I think we also need to look at the influence it has on the adjacent districts and adjacent districts have on this. And part of the urban pattern, I think, is going to be for Blacksburg in the future is to try to identify some design features or differentiators that have the potential to create a character for the future. And I appreciate the consultants came back and showed us a graphic of what the corner of the building may look like, but I was really more concerned about public open space on the corners. When you think about the Black, basically there's a parking lot in that corner now, which is open space, and eventually it'll be redeveloped. The Moss Arts Center, there's a corner there that's largely open, and then of course the gas station, which is doing very well, I understand. But at some point, the value of the property will probably will probably outpace the value of a gas station. So my thought was I'd like to see some sort of diagonal open space on the corner of what we're dealing with. And I understand that's beyond what council understand, that if this district passed, there'll still have to be a plan development brought in, and we'll have the opportunity to look at that then. At that point, I will be very interested in seeing what we can do to create some sort of diagonal open space on that corner, which might suggest what might be able to be done on the other three corners. Because mm-hmm. I think this has a potentially be a very important intersection in town. So that was my comment and concern. And being a newbie, I wasn't aware of exactly what the charge was, but I'm glad to know that there is a venue for that to be put on a wish list in the future.
Right. And I did want to have that aired before we opened up our public comment on this, because I think that discussion informs a lot of our perspective on this application. So at this point, we'll open up for public comment. If anyone would like to address the commission on this particular public hearing, please come forward.
Good evening. My name is Andrew Jessup. I'm speaking on behalf of 208 Turner and 112 Turner, which are both in this downtown Northwest district. I want to first of all say thank you for the conversation tonight so far and all throughout these past almost 4 years. We've attended many of these meetings that have tried to keep up with all the good back and forth that has gone on so far. So thank you for your attention and time. I wanted to bring two observations to the Planning Commission this evening and then one request. The first observation is that the draft being considered today is significantly different than the first draft that was recommended to the commission or the town council in December 2022. And then the second observation is that the town council's referral back to the Planning Commission limited the purview that you all have discussed to height, and it did not allow you to discuss all the changes in the current draft. So my request of you all tonight is to ask the Planning Commission, ask the town council to request an opportunity to discuss all the changes to the proposal before making a final recommendation to town council. And the reason we make this ask is because there have been significant changes that have not been discussed. I don't need to touch on all of these different changes. I sent a letter to the Planning Commission on November 5th that I'll redistribute tonight. But the reason that we believe these changes are significant is because the reduced building envelope, which decreases the incentive to adopt the overlay. So I think we're all, what I've heard through all the discussions that we are, going after density in this district. So when a few of the changes that haven't been discussed lead to this reduced building envelope, the natural consequences are that the incentive to adopt the overlay has been reduced. This next slide outlines a few of the requirements that may be counterproductive to the density that's been discussed. Again, I don't need to touch on all of these, but I bring this up just to highlight that some of the things that I believe the Planning Commission should try to discuss further before passing this along to Town Council. This next slide, I present this information as a comparison of the downtown commercial zoning district and then the downtown Northwest zoning district. As you all probably know, the current property owners can develop to the downtown commercial zoning district without having to go through rezoning. So I want to highlight this information just to emphasize how compelling that the downtown Northwest district will need to be to incentivize its property owners to go through the rezoning process. I'll quickly just highlight this slide as a map of the current parcel owners in the district. As you can see, parcels 1, 2, and 4 are owned by either the Virginia Tech Foundation or the town of Blacksburg. So that's about half of the current entirety of the district. There are only 6.5 acres that are proudly held and contiguous. So I want to present this slide to highlight how difficult it may be to achieve that minimum acreage that I highlighted on the previous slide. To end this, I want to bring up the slide I presented at the beginning just to say thank you all for the continued discussion. I know it's been a long path, and this district has been highlighted as very important for the future density, and it's very uniquely situated as not having a lot of those neighboring concerns. So I just want to end this with my request that you all take more time to discuss all the changes in the ordinance rather than just the height. Yes, I think there are many other changes in the ordinance that deserve more time and discussion. Thank you again.
Yep.
Thank you.
Public comment period still open. Is there anyone who would like to address the commission on this particular public hearing? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to motion and discussion. Do we have a motion regarding the zoning ordinance amendment ZOA 60, ordinance 2001, an amendment to amend the text of the town zoning ordinance and create a new downtown Northwest zoning district?
Okay. Do you want me to give it a shot? Or?
Sure, that would be great. Thank
you. Okay. I move that the Planning Commission recommend a maximum height of 120 feet, except for 60 feet within the 50 linear feet from the back of the curb along North Main Street and Turner Street Northwest for the council's approval or, consideration. How about that?
That's good.
There's no, approval or denial here.
Yeah, you're recommending adoption.
We do this.
Adoption.
Yes. Yes.
Recommend adoption of the proposed height.
You want me to do it again?
No, that's good. So we have a motion on the dais to recommend approval.
I would have a quick point of clarification that it would include for Turner Street Northwest. It includes the 450 linear feet.
Yes. Yes. Please. This entire statement I would recommend to council. Is my motion.
Okay. Second.
Right. I have a motion and a second. And we've heard the discussion from Mr. Kazee regarding some of the critical considerations about primary corners, traffic corners. Any additional discussion? I would like to just say that with regard to the Planning Commission's opportunity to review any further aspects of this ordinance, we're more than welcome. If we got the charge from council, we'd be more than happy to address any of those. So we'd just be looking for that opportunity to come from council.
I just wanted to bring up that our colleague Tim Colley's not here this evening, and during the work session, on the heels of what Mr. Kesey said, is that already in town we have a couple corners, the Roanoke Street and Main Street down there between New River Art and Fiber and the previous Cabone building. Both of those have a very modest little angled cut in there. So it's we already have that in a mid-20th century model.
Right. Yeah, now it's time to scale that up
yes.
to
yeah.
the urban scale of giving actual space to the community.
Right. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
I just want to add that, you know, in addition to these ideas regarding sort of in-between spaces and how we would like any proposal that we see to address the other districts that are around there, that the Planning Commission has, you know, in its history of discussing this, I think tried to promote the flexibility of this district because we expect to see, you know, an architecturally significant, interesting development here that is unlike what we maybe currently have. And in the downtown strategies process of creating this district, you know, it felt like one of the few places that could handle the density and be, you know, student housing and getting enough revenue that we could have something very different. I want to remind as we're going process and thinking about and recommending a higher height than we even recommended before, that we're doing so that when we get a rezoning proposal in the future, that it is that sort of distinct piece of our town. And that's all.
I just wanted to, I said so at the work session, but I just want to say that I really, really appreciate Blaine's comment and thinking more creatively and expansively about quality of life outside. We tend to think of green space or not, right? And I think that urban and suburban areas across the country, in particular as a result of COVID, began to get incredibly creative with outdoor space because mm-hmm. that's the only place people could gather. And many of them have kept a lot of those spaces. I think, for example, of the pedestrian space there on College and Draper. That is a quality of life enhancement and it isn't even fully realized. Mm-hmm. But the opportunity to gather in that way. And so I just think that, as you say, you're looking for something a little bit more scaled up than the intersections we currently have. Because we tend to have only talked about it in terms of the width of a sidewalk or something like that. And the capacity to find these places where people might gather along the downtown area is very exciting. So mm-hmm. I know that's not on the docket today, but I just want to go on record as saying, let's keep talking that
way. I think the previous project we looked at tonight in showing how a very dense community is connected to public open space. Right. And I think in these types of projects, we need to be thinking that way. I commend them for doing that.
Great. Thank you for that. That's helpful. Anything further? All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Our final public hearing is 801 North Main Street, PRD development at 801, and the public hearing was canceled in accordance with the consent agenda and will be addressed on the January 7th public hearing. With that, we'll close public hearings for tonight. We'll open up citizen comment. If anyone would like to address the commission on any issue, we may do so at this time. Hearing none, we'll move on to it. Could you please come forward?
It's been late.
Yeah.
I apologize. But
please come forward and state your name and address. Yeah.
And I'd like to know exactly what I just witnessed. Are you all planning on making the height in Blacksburg up to 120 feet?
Yeah, what was just voted on was an amendment to an existing proposed zoning ordinance.
And that's for all of downtown?
No, it's just for that one area of Northwest. It's called Downtown Northwest. It's bordered by Turner Street, Price's Fork, Main Street. It's and as was described by the another concerned party, there's only about 6.5 acres. Now, what this proposed zoning ordinance does is it allows for a floating floating district within there. If somebody was able to compile 3.5 or more of those 6.5 acres, then these density and design consideration design elements would be allowed to that party. And if they were able to compile that 3.5 acres and come forward with an application, they would be able to draw from those essentially form-based codes, being able to go 60 feet for the first 50 feet from the street, and then up to 120 feet as it wraps around.
So as it goes further away from Main Street?
Right.
And I'm sorry. So the code now is 4 stories, correct?
The code in downtown commercial is 60 feet by right and up to 100 feet with a conditional use permit.
And so, and I keep hearing everything, what is this going to be used for?
That would be up to the applicant and the developer. But essentially, and what was identified in the strategic plan, downtown strategic plan, this is one area and the only area of all those districts that are up there, shown up there, that would be suitable for high-density student housing because it's directly adjacent to the campus. So that would most likely be the application.
So that is for high-density. And what are the studies that have been done for high-density student housing in Blacksburg?
The downtown, this study that's presented here was primarily one of the key studies that evaluated that.
Because that's very concerning as a citizen for high density anywhere in this town, because we're already, as I said before, busting at the seams.
Sure.
And that will take away the beauty of this little charming town, mm-hmm. and not to be able to see our mountain views and not to be able to drive into Main Street and see the lovely little town that it is, and it's quaint. And I definitely think that that's way too tall for this little charming town of ours.
Great. Well, thank you for that input.
Yes.
May we have your name and address?
I said Shannon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
And your address?
That's 1600 Greenwood Drive.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, I missed the street.
Greenwood Drive.
Greenwood. Thank you.
We're still in the citizen comment. Anybody like to address the commission on any issue? Okay, with that, we'll close citizen comment, open up unfinished business. Zoning Ordinance Review Committee, we have not met. The Zoning or Design Review Board? Excuse me, Historic or Design Review Board.
They haven't met since we last.
Okay, thank you. The Montgomery County Planning Commission? Okay.
We didn't hear what you said.
On the 20th, canceled.
It was canceled.
Okay, great. And any additional items from planning commissioners?
I have a question.
Sure.
Are we going to have a retreat?
We were waiting for a new director.
Okay. I'm happy to talk about it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Actually, I had a question for staff while you other comments. Is there a let's talk page about the downtown?
Yes, there is. Yes.
So, ma'am, there's if you go to let's talk Blacksburg, there's all the different things that are going on in the town. There's normally pages with a lot of the documents, surveys of information. So a lot of what the chair spoke to you tonight about, you can see, you can dig in and see a lot more information on the Let's Talk Blacksburg page. Let's Talk Blacksburg, yes.
And I'm happy to give you that link. There's also additional information under the rezoning, under the zoning ordinance section of the just the regular website as well. And I'm happy to provide that to you.
All right. We'll move on to new business. Chair's report, I have none. Planning director's report. Town council report.
The capital improvement program was presented briefly at the council meeting 2 weeks ago, I guess. We were supposed to go over it today and start digging into that, but our other issues ran over, so we didn't get to it yet, which also means that's coming attractions because, as you the CIP pertinent things. So we're in that planning, which starts with the CIP and then goes to the budget. So stay tuned.
It's exciting.
So that will be on your agenda for December 17th.
Okay.
Right. Session. All right. We stand adjourned. Thank you.